Welcome to Awakening Plus. It is January 27, 2021. I am Benjamin Bernstein, and special guest today, Larry Morningstar, a member of Awakening Plus. This is our very first event where we are featuring one of our members as a presenter or co-presenter or whatever you want to call it. So Larry's event is called Journey of Discovery. And to put this in context, I'm excited to have Larry doing this, and I'm also excited to have any other member who is inspired to do some sort of presentation to Awakening Plus to let me know about that, and we'll chat, and if it sounds good, we'll do it. I call these trial events, I'm really eager to give any Awakening Plus member who desires a chance to learn how to present and have the experience of holding energetic space and such. So the doors are open, and just let me know if you're interested. I'll give a little quick bio on Larry, and then Larry can present his info. Over the years, Larry has facilitated and participated in high vibration conscious business sessions, as well as other group events held in the spirit of oneness. This has helped him experience breakthroughs in awareness and creativity and open into new insights and collaborative possibilities. And Larry will tell you more about the event. Is there anything you want to say briefly before we set the energetic container, Larry, about what you'll be doing?
No, I think that you covered the highlights, and let's begin with the opening up the container.
Okay. All right. So just, you want me to do that as usual?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You got it. Okay. So I invite everyone to close your eyes, relax. And as we usually do, I'm going to call the directions and call in the allies. The usual requests apply as well. We request that you only do this if you're participating live or on the recording. If you cannot be fully present now, then please come back later on the recording when you can be fully present. The other thing is, if you must unexpectedly depart the process, whether you're live or on the recording, just ask the allies to smoothly ease you out of the bubble, and your departure should not ruffle the energy. Okay, so here we go. Pachamama, Mama Kia, Wiracocha, Inti, Quichi. I am that I am. Maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good, please. Maximum embodied Christ consciousness that serves highest good, please. Maximum embodied service to other fourth density consciousness or higher that serves highest good, please. I call Makisla's higher self. I call Amma the hugging saint. I call ayahuasca, San Pedro, magic mushroom, grandfather tobacco, Quo, the confederation of planets in service to the infinite creator, Amma Bhagavan. Let me interject here that all the beings I'm calling are of high vibration and benevolent intent, just so you know. I call Yeshua, Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, Babaji, Saint Germain, Yogananda. I call the remaining ascended masters whose presence serves highest good. Please come. I call the angels of high vibration and benevolent intent. I call Archangel Raphael in the north, Archangel Michael in the south, Archangel Uriel in the east, Archangel Gabriel in the west, Archangel Metatron in the center. I call Ganesh, Shiva, Ram, Krishna, Shakti, Kali, Devi, Durga, Lakshmi. I call Sayama, I call our elemental allies. I call my benevolent ancestors. I call Apu Asangate, Apu Guardian Angel, Apu Dragon Mountain Gateway, Apu Shining Rock, Apu Mount Pisgah, Apu Mount Mitchell, Apu Grandfather Mountain. I call Phoenix, Dragon, Jaguar, Panther, Owl, Eagle, Condor, Hummingbird, Bear, Hedgehog. I call the higher selves of Spirit Song, Zachary, Lisa, Deborah, West, Moo. I call all other beings of high vibration and benevolent intent whose presence serves highest good. Please come. I am that I am. We are that we are. I am that I am. Let there be a bubble of protection around this sacred space to hold in this good energy and to ensure that all that enters here is of high vibration and benevolent intent. So it is. Larry, how does the container feel?
Fantastic.
All right, take it away, brother.
Fantastic. All right. I invite everybody to start to breathe in this beautiful light that's being added into our life and all around us, and start breathing it into our hearts. Just imagine a waterfall of light coming down through your higher self, down through your soul star chakra, down through your crown, through your pineal gland, through your throat chakra, and into your heart. And just breathe that beautiful light into your heart. And just take a few moments and really breathe really deeply. And just let your heart feel and sense that beautiful light. And just breathe it in and just allow yourself to sink into your heart. There's nothing to do. There's nowhere to go. You're really becoming present in your heart. And your heart is welcoming the light. Your heart is welcoming the opportunity right now to be really with you. And it welcomes you into this magical journey right now. So just feel that gratitude that your heart is welcoming you in this beautiful journey that it wants to take you. And just relax and breathe more deeply into your heart. And just imagine sending a grounding cord or a beam of light down through your lower part of your body, all the way down to Mother Earth, down all the way down to the core crystal of Mother Earth. Mother Earth really welcomes light from your heart, and she sends it back up through you, through the soles of your feet, all the way back up to your heart. So now you've got beautiful earth energies mixing in with a higher vibrational light into your heart. And these beautiful energies are moving around in your heart now, and it's becoming a powerful ball of light that's starting to grow in your heart. Just imagine that light forming the size of a golf ball. And as you're breathing in more into your heart, just imagine and see and feel that ball of light starting to grow. And you're becoming a golden sun's presence in your heart. And you're feeling it rise in your chest cavity and all around you. You're feeling it permeate in your chest cavity and through every cell in your body. And you may feel a smile coming over your face. Just feel that warmth of that golden sun's presence. and allow that to expand into every cell, into every atom, every electron, every molecule of your body, and just breathe that in, that beautiful light. And I invite you to send that beautiful light to everyone else on that call today, through the, you know, through on our, through the container, so that everyone can feel each other's light, and just expand that light beyond the container out into the world. Just feel how that connection is, not only with ourselves, but with everyone on that call today, and being with everyone, and feel that richness of the light and that sense of spaciousness and expansion all around you. And again, breathing into the heart, going deeper. And just out of curiosity, just ask your heart what it wants to reveal to you right now. And just take a moment just to see what the answer is. You're dealing with a very wise portal. You're dealing with a treasure house. You may not necessarily have asked your heart this question recently or ever, but this is a time to just to connect and to get a sense of what it wants to reveal to you right now. And ask your heart, how can I be an instrument of joy? How can I be an instrument of joy? What's coming up for you? What does your heart want to share with you? What would light me up this year? What would light me up this coming week, this journey this year, of new possibilities, of new beginnings? What would I really yearn for? What would I really yearn for to experience this year? What haven't I given to myself that is ripe for cultivating this year? Take a deep breath and go deeper. Sink in to the richness and the vastness of this treasure house. Allow yourself to be taken deeper into the arms being nurtured by your heart right now. Feel that warmth. Feel that embrace. How would I like to be this year? How would I like to show up differently if I had my heart leading the way? Ask your heart if it's willing to lead you this year. If you trust your heart to lead you. How would it feel? Where would it take you? How much joy would you allow yourself to experience? What new adventures would you experience? Who would you play with? Who would you collaborate with if you had that sense of playfulness, that sense of collaboration, that sense of lightness, that you can do anything that brings you joy. Where would that joy lead you? In relationships, in your aspirations in terms of work, in terms of health, vitality, creativity. What if you had a blank canvas in your heart was with you as an artist, holding the paintbrush in your hand? Would you allow your heart to take your hand and to paint a magnificent landscape or an abstract or a symbol? What colors would you start with? Take a deep breath and go deeper. Your heart knows what you want. Your heart yearns to be loved and to love. Your heart yearns to play, to have new experiences and new adventures, to experience the joy of life. How much joy are you willing to have in your life? How much joy would you allow yourself to have if your heart was your companion? A trusted companion that would lead you to amazing experiences, more than what you could ever imagine. With the right people, the right opportunities, the synchronicities. Take a deep breath. Breathe that light into your heart and allow that expansiveness to fill you up. What's emerging right now? What's emerging right now that of new possibilities, new creations, new beginnings? What would it feel like? That sense of being unlimited, being inspired and following that inspiration. That inspiration comes from your heart. Your inspiration comes, and it's never has it never ends. It's always available to you. Take a deep breath and just imagine what it would feel like to be inspired every day, to having that the field of possibilities, that experiences that would make each day a masterpiece. Who would you have to be living your life as a masterpiece? Take a deep breath and breathe into your heart again. What it would be like to live in your life as a masterpiece, as a creator. Unlimited potential. What would you love to create with your heart? What would your heart love to share with you right now? Take a deep breath and breathe. Just breathe that sense of emergence, that sense of possibility. Feel it expand you. Expand through your chest cavity and out into the world and everyone on this call. Imagine that sense of possibility with everyone else on this call. That sense of playfulness, that lightness, that expansiveness. And slowly come back to the surface. Allow yourself to be taken back to the surface of your body. Feeling the senses in your body. Your heart thanks you for this magical journey. Your heart thanks you and invites you to return again. But this is an experience to remember how easy it is to return whenever you want. Your heart is available to you. It's available to you as a guide and as a master, as your essence. Slowly come back, and when you're ready, open your eyes, take some deep breaths, and just to write down anything that you want to reveal to yourself or you want to write down for the future. And come back to this space, this time, fully alive, awake, energized, full of peace, full of possibility. Thank you. Sending love to everyone, sending light to everyone for this magical journey that I'm able to share with you. Thank you for being here. Welcome back. We're now opening up the call for any comments, any questions, any insights.
Yeah, the Zoom is set up so anybody can just unmute themselves and speak. If you're shy, you can type instead, but speaking is great if you're willing to do it. Those of you on the phone, it's star 6 to unmute. Oh, Dina.
I'm not usually a rule follower on when we do guided things. So my experience may be similar, may be very different than others as far as tuning into my heart and listening to guidance. I spend a lot of time working with that, and so I know where I go. I already know what my heart has to say. So what I ended up doing was going just into deep relaxation and utilizing the light energy in any way that serves highest good. And I ended up contorting kind of like this on this left side. And somebody was doing some work in my left arm, left shoulder, left neck. And just before, Larry, just before you would say, take a deep breath and go deeper. So probably 10, 15 seconds before you would say that, I went deeper on my own. And I'm like, oh, where am I going now? And then you would say it. And I thought, okay, well, obviously I'm not listening to you. I'm doing my own thing, but it was similar guidance. But I ended up feeling like it was a healing, something with left neck, shoulder, something with clearing energy flow versus the, you know, imagining where I would be. My heart already has a story figured out. So it didn't spend much time doing that. If that makes any sense.
Thank you.
We'd love to hear from anyone else who'd like to share their thoughts or experience. Jill Louise.
Hey. Thank you, Larry. That was really great. So I kind of got an overall feeling from your prompts to, you know, ask my heart different things. And it's something that I knew already, but just to like a deeper level of it and a reminder of just lead with my heart always. I had been struggling with something the last couple days, just kind of struggling, honey. I haven't been working for a while and it's almost time to start again. So just kind of reintegrating into that mode, and just some real fear about it. That it doesn't matter. I won't go into that, but you know, the answer is leading with my heart. And, you know, not that I won't have my personality in that to a certain degree, but, let my personality follow my heart, you know? So that was, it's just really helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome.
Sanmati?
Yeah. Thanks, Larry. I think I typically don't pause and ask myself such questions. So though I do listen to my heart about a lot of things, I do a lot, but I don't really pause and ask how it is doing or what does it have to say. So this was something I was like, it was really good for me to have a conversation, and I have some things to write down, and thank you. It was kind of a reminder for me to pause and do something like this from time to time. Thanks.
Thank you.
Linda.
Hi. I'll try not to touch anything, but then you won't see me because otherwise you won't hear me.
Well, hearing is working. Go ahead.
I think I left my body and I wasn't around for almost most of it. I felt like I was just floating and I felt like I went home and didn't even want to come back. It was a really wonderful experience. So I would have stayed there till you brought us home. I didn't even come back for a while. I'm still kind of out of there. I'm sure I'm in my body, but it was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joanne.
Hi, I just had a few words to say. I had some very beautiful visuals and colors and messages, and a really good reminder for me was the fact that so much of my life I've protected my heart, like with relationships with men and people and feeling hurt, being hurt, or, you know, being affected by, you know, having my heart hurt, my feelings hurt. And so I've kept my heart protected, and I only would let so many people in, and, you know, keeping the wall up. And I had a very long download of messages that, you know, I'm not 20 years old anymore. I'm not 30 years old. And you know, people have matured and you have matured, and just be open to new friends and new, you know, even lovers or new people. Just be open again and have fun with that. And, you know, it's kind of like stop judging that routine, you know, it's that. And it doesn't have to look a certain way. But I mean, it was like a long, like a father telling his daughter or a mother telling her daughter. I mean, it was like a conversation of what, you know, let it go, surrender that and stop being protective. And I had a whole like game plan, like how I could do this, because I find myself being isolated and I choose different friends based on spirituality or whatever. And because I go to one end of the spectrum or the other. And this was kind of like giving me the overview, you know, this is what the course of your life is going to look like. You know, this is what you can do different. So that's it. So it was good. It was like a lesson, a game plan. If you follow A, this is what this looks like. B is what this looks like. But so it was a good message, and it was heartfelt. You know, it was heartfelt, and I needed to hear that actually, because I feel like I'm starting over like every other year with where I'm at in my life, you know, what I want in my life. And it's, you know, thank you so much for the experience. That was very nice. It was very good. Thank you.
Thanks for that beautiful share, Joanne. So while we're waiting for our next live person, I'll read some of what's in the chat here. Joanne typed that she had some great visuals and insight. Beverly typed, that was something I really needed today more than ever. I felt so much energy during this. My biggest heart message was that I am enough. Thank you and blessings. And Dina also heard the words, you are enough. Hang on a second. Beverly typed, wow, this is all so connected. Thank you so much. Catherine typed, thank you, Larry. I had a left shoulder healing as well. My cat loved the expansion energy. And let's see what else. And Kay typed, thank you, Larry. This was so heartfelt and inspiring. Wow. Got some fans here, brother. Any other feedback? We'd love to hear from anyone else who'd care to share or ask a question or communicate in any way. Okay, last call for feedback. So Larry, was there anything more you wanted to do as part of your thing here tonight?
No, I think that it would be, I think I'm complete with this, and it's really about, you know, receiving the feedback from the participants that, and just to get an idea of, you know, if people would like something else like this in the future.
Okay. Well, I'll put it out to the membership and see what feedback we get.
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be fabulous. Thank you. Thank you so much, Larry. That was very confidently facilitated. You definitely were in your zone and cooking. That was great.
Thank you.
Benjamin, a moment ago, Kay unmuted, and I was wondering if she was sharing as well.
Oh, she's unmuted. Hey, Kay.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was about to, and then I thought maybe it was over, so I didn't. Oh,
go ahead.
I was having this interesting experience of the full moon that's about to happen tomorrow, I believe, which is a very big full moon in Leo. And the whole description that you were taking us through the journey seemed to be describing the energies of Leo, the heart. And this particular full moon is, you know, opposed by so many planets in Aquarius. So it's very, I'm sure Benjamin could explain to us more about the dynamic of that. But for me personally, I'm a Leo rising, and I've always followed my heart, and I tend to be bigger than life in many situations, particularly with family, and everyone always describes me as a typical Leo, and yet I'm in conflict about it because I tend to feel that it's too much about me because my sun is in Pisces, actually. And so I feel my Leo rising. It's all about me. It's all about me. And other people seem to like it, but I feel dissatisfied. And so when you were describing all the qualities of the heart, I was feeling, I know about all that, but I want something more intimate. And what about the other people? Like, not so much what about me? So like, I feel that has something to do with the full moon energies, that there's this conflict between Leo and Aquarius. I don't know if anyone else can shed some light on this. Not sure if I explained it very well.
Well, I'll jump in for a moment on that topic, Kay. So this will be astrological for a moment, but you asked a specifically astrological question. But before I do that, did anyone else have any other feedback before I get into a little snippet of astrology stuff? Looks like not. Okay. So let me start with my favorite Leo joke. By the way, I have Leo rising as well. So the Leo joke is, oh, but I've talked enough about myself. Why don't you talk about me for a while? But actually, in my experience, and I've done a lot of readings, there is two levels of Leo. What I just described was the beginner Leo. And this is the Leo that hasn't found their own center yet, their own source of power. And thus they have this gaping black hole inside of them, and they need it filled with other people's attention and energy. And if they can get positive attention, great. And if not, they'll settle for negative attention. Okay. So that's the earlier Leo. But if the Leo awakens and if they connect with their own source, then they realize, oh, wow, all that energy I thought I needed from other people, I now have within myself. And the flow reverses. Now it's not so much how can I get energy from other people? It's like, how can I give back energy? How can I be the conduit to bless others with this energy? Like become the shining sun radiating heat and light in all directions. Okay. I mean, Leo is ruled by the sun. And then you still want attention, but for a very different reason. You don't need people to applaud you and shore up your ego anymore. You say, I want your attention because I have a blessing for you. I have a gift. And unless you're paying attention to me, I can't give it to you. And that gift could be being an entertainer of some kind, or leadership, or just being a conduit of beautiful divine energy, information, all that. So Leo is really a beautiful sign. And if the Leo has awakened and is then coming into the spotlight to serve instead of just suck up all the energy in the room, then that's an entirely different Leo experience. So I don't know, Kay, if that's a helpful thought around that.
Yeah, I'm basically looking for a way that how does the heart, which has its own voice, how does it integrate with other aspects of our being? Because we also have a spirit, and heart is one part of us. And how does it interact? It shouldn't be just all about me kind of thing.
Yeah. Larry, tell me if I misinterpreted my sense in having you ask the heart a lot of stuff. Is my sense is I sensed heart was spirit. Heart was the divine knowing in the core. At least that was the vibe I kind of got. Was that your sense of it, Larry? Or did you have a different read on heart in your process?
No, I was, it was really about a playful exercise as opposed, you know, it was really about a playful journey.
Okay.
But yeah, it goes along with what you're saying, but I didn't really want, I wanted to make it easy and accessible to everybody.
Okay, cool. Yeah, obviously I projected my own bias onto it when I proposed that idea. And I love how you kept it open enough that people could bring their own idea of what heart is into the exercise without being told what it was.
Sure.
Yeah, well done.
And also your latter explanation about Leo rising applies to me.
Oh, yeah?
In terms of that sense of wanting to share more. Mm. And uplift other uplift others, and that didn't come until recently.
Ah,
that real shift of coming into service and then coming into wanting to share who I am, because I am exploding with energy.
Nice.
You know, I'm like a volcano, and it's like, all right, where do I have to go in order to meet my tribe?
Sweet. Yeah, I'm so glad you're stepping out. You know, my own feeling is, you know, the awakening's happening now. It's in progress. And everyone who's called to shine their light and serve in whatever way they're called to serve, I think it's time to be doing it. You know, there's no more sidelines.
Sure.
All but players on the field. Yeah.
I had completely forgot about that aspect of me because it hasn't come up in conversation for 10 or 15 years of
being
arising. And so I appreciate having this little review because it's certainly applicable to me in your explanation in this particular time right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to make sense. I'll in response to Kay's question, we are opposing some Aquarian planets, and Leo and Aquarius are like, it's an interesting diametric. The Aquarius energy can be interpreted as like your unique one-of-a-kind self. And in a less conscious society, that Aquarian uniqueness can be problematical. And then the Leo representing the overall vibe of the group can squash it down. In a more awakened society, the Leo is the stepping out into expression in possibly even an Aquarian way. I'm now kind of blending the Leo Aquarius energies. To me, putting those energies together in a really lovely way would be I step out into the spotlight, Leo, in my uniqueness, in my one-of-a-kind gifts and, you know, talents, Aquarius. And I step out to my tribe, which is Aquarius, and, you know, give them my shining light, Leo, in that beautiful way. I the way I see the Aquarian age we're moving into is each of us will radiantly step into our unique gifts and talents. And the tribe which we're part of, the audience we're reaching, will applaud that. And we say, yes, we're a group of people who are similar enough that we feel vibe together, but we so applaud and encourage each person's uniqueness, each person's difference. And they're able to create a group cohesion, a beautiful blending of energies while embracing each person's uniqueness instead of the current world where people are urged to conform and be like a certain standard. So that's kind of my rough sense of what we might be moving toward. And that's how Aquarius and Leo could be harmonized together. You know, I've done enough astrology. I know that any two signs can be brought into harmony if you're just creative enough with it. So that's a little more on the Aquarius Leo that comes to mind. I hope that's helpful. So anyone else have any thoughts, questions, anything at all before we wrap up? All right, any last words, Larry? Oh, wait, Anjali, hi.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm going to stay off video. I'm having one of those bad hair nights. the last few minutes have been striking a chord with me, and I'm trying to formulate it right, but there's like just this, as you've been feeling it, that there's so many of us, especially that are connected through this community, that are, we're feeling this inner calling to just burst open and start sharing and doing more of the healing work on others. And and I've had starts and stops over the years, but it's now coming, and it's like the message is trying to beat down the damn door. And part of me is opening up to it, and part of me is absolutely terrified, and I keep going through panic attacks and hiding from it. And I know that it's a calling thing, and maybe others are feeling that too, but I'm a Leo rising. So I used to have no problem getting in front of, like a Leo sun sign. So I used to have no problem getting in front of huge audiences. I could speak in front of 1,000 people at a time. I used to, you know, being the center of the spotlight was never the problem. And so I went off, like you said, you go on a journey and sometimes you go from being the center of attention to being inside your own center until you find a new self. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of regurgitate through your cocoon phase. But I wonder if you have any advice or thoughts on when you're finally trying to break open and do that next phase where you step out. And I know there was a point for yourself where you had to step out and become public. And here I am, I'm a healer. What does that mean? How do I show up? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, am I doing it right? You know, all these things. I mean, what kind of words might come through for that?
Okay. I assume you're directing that question to me.
Yeah. Or anybody that feels called to it. So sure.
All right. I basically gave myself permission to screw up a lot. I remember, this is very apropos, when I really first stepped out into the new age world, it was as an astrologer, and I had a mentor who taught me, and he said, "You're ready." And I said, "Oh my God, you know, I live here in Asheville, North Carolina." And this was when I was just doing local stuff, and there's lots of really great astrologers in this town, and I'm just a newbie. Why would anyone work with me? You know, that kind of insecurity was going on. And he said, "Benjamin, if you just tell a person one helpful thing in your reading that makes their life better, that was a worthwhile reading." And so he set a very easy standard for me to meet, because I knew if I just read the archetypes properly, I could do that. And I just said, okay, as long as I'm doing no harm and I'm being helpful, then I'll do it. So I just started doing it, and one thing led to another. And so that's part of it. Is I just read the book Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. I love her work, and she talks about, you know, she's interviewed a lot of the really great leaders, and they say, you know, anytime you're doing anything important, it's messy, and there's all kinds of mistakes and failures and false starts, and you know, having to retool. And she said, that's just how it is. Nobody gets it right the first time. It just doesn't happen. So perfectionism, she says, is a really unhelpful thing to hold. None of us is perfect. Even someone like Elon Musk, you know, who's this incredible, he's got these amazing companies. He says still recently started companies that failed. They went belly up. And so even Elon Musk keeps getting it wrong sometimes, but he just keeps putting out enough things that stick that, you know, there's a good enough success ratio. So I think if for a lot of people, it's just a fear of messing up. And the answer is, yes, you're going to mess up. Absolutely. If you're doing anything worthwhile, because how can you learn if you don't, you know, learn how not to do it and then learn it better? So I like to replace the word mistake with learning experience. So that's been my own attitude. I have no delusions about doing anything perfectly. I mean, Awakening Plus itself, you know, after I launched it as Awakening Plus, it really took over a year for it to start getting momentum, but I didn't give up. I just kept plugging away, and what's next? How can I try the next thing? And just doing my best and just getting incrementally better. So I think if you're called to something, if you're passionate about it, you know, the what I like to say is just start simple. Just what's one little baby step you can take toward that direction, toward that goal, and take that little baby step. And then, you know, I use a metaphor here. Let's say there was a whole bunch of hills ahead of you, but they were all positioned so you could only ever see the next hill. So you take that little climb up to the top. They say, "Oh, another hill. I didn't see it till now." And you would never have seen the second hill until you got to the tip of the first one. And then you just keep the next one. Oh, there's another one yet. And you just, like, there's endless hills. And the idea is you don't have to even know what the hills beyond it even look like. You just have to know, okay, I see now this next little bit of the path, I'll walk that far, and then from there I'll have a new vantage point and I can see what's next. So it's very different than feeling like you got to have the full 5-year plan laid out versus, okay, I'm feeling drawn in this direction, spirit's leading, I'll start walking and see what happens. So it's a lot more what's the guidance, and it's very improvisational. You might have some plans in place, some ideas of how to move forward, but those are flexible. Strategies can change. What is helpful is to have a very clear sense of what is the thing I'm here to do. You know, for me, my core mission statement would be something like, I'm here to help people heal and awaken and to help support the awakening on planet Earth. And that's my jam. And how I get there, that could look like lots of different things. So I think having a very clear sense of the ultimate mission, the thing you're fundamentally here to do, is good to have. But then within that, there's all kinds of room for improvisation and learning as you try things and they don't work like you thought they would. And you, oh, I can tweak that and make it better. I hope that's a little long-winded, but Anjali, is that at all helpful?
Yeah, it was absolutely helpful. And a lot of things resonated. So I... going to chew on that for a bit. The perfection thing is, ooh, it's an ugly entity. that's a nemesis for me.
Well, remember, I think one of the great writers said, you know, they've studied a lot of fabulous people, and they say, on average, the ones who are considered world class, they spend about 10,000 hours doing their thing, you know. Mm-hmm. How many, I mean, if you became a great violinist, how many wrong notes did that guy play? Or that woman? How many times did they mess up in concert? How many shortcomings did they experience as they crafted and refined and refined and refined? So it's just, you just got to keep going. I, you know, whatever I've accomplished, I attribute a lot of it just to sheer perseverance. I would try stuff that wouldn't work. What can I do next? And I just never gave up. I just kept going. And if you have a mission and you feel drawn towards something passionately, then you just keep going and you find a way through when the first try didn't work. That's kind of how I do it anyway.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. It looks like Linda has unmuted. Did you want to share something, Linda?
Yes. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, for one?
Great.
Okay. Great. I have something else so I can maybe talk. I'm pretty passionate about poetry. Mm-hmm. Could I share one with you guys?
Sure.
Okay. A time of dragons and of kings, where fairies unfurled their silvered wings, where elves and gentle water sprite walk the earth through soft moonlight and fill it with their mystic light, where parents in their stories weave a path for children to believe that magic's but a breath away, even now, here today. So children, as you close your eyes, may magic spin its lullabies within your heart.
Mm. Wow. Thank you. That feels so good. I love the beautiful vision.
That was the dessert.
Thank you, Linda. What a delight. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else want to jump in on the open mic here?
Linda's getting lots of love in the chat.
Oh, sweet. I wasn't even paying attention to the chat. I
see that. Thank you.
We got a couple of beautiful poem comments. Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely getting some love in the chat. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to jump in here. This is a little tangential, but I've recently discovered a really cool psychological system. It's called Inner Family. IFS, Inner Family, Internal Family Systems. I'm sorry, Internal Family Systems. And it's extraordinary. And would it, and your poem inspired me because you were talking about all the mystical creatures and all that. And in this psychology system, that stuff is real. Okay. What it does is it has you connect with the parts inside you. And the idea is that a human is not one monolithic personality, but actually is many sub-personalities that, you know, come to prominence and fall back, and different, you know, there's more assertive aspects and more quiet aspects and more, you know, you have many different flavors of you there that show up at different times, and they consider each of these flavors an individual personality. And they say, you know, anyone who comes aware of them is aware of like at least a dozen, and some people are aware of more than 40 sub-personalities within themselves. And of course, some psychologists would say, well, that means you've got a serious disease, we need to lock you up. But this system, which has been around for more than 40 years and has received several official clinical approvals, and yes, it's effective for this and this and this, says, no, we actually have many different sub-personalities, and you should get to know them and hang out with them and nurture them. And what IFS does is it has you, you know, one of the parts will step up and you start working with it. And there are, I'm not going to get into the methods of how to work with it, but they show up sometimes as earlier versions of your human self. Sometimes it shows up as animals or, you know, mystic forms. And it reminds me a lot of the lower world of the shamanic world. I mean, when you go into a shamanic lower world journey, the lower world is where the power animals are, and it's its own, you know, earthy looking landscape, but it's more like a fairy realm, more like a mystical realm where all kind of magical creatures are hanging out. And apparently that is the interior psyche when you actually open to it and realize just how much of it's there. So thank you for your poem, which kind of put that in mind to me. And again, this psychological system would actually go a step further. Says that poetry you said, that stuff is real. You know, it's not this physical reality, but it is a dimension within us that is an integral part of us that has its own life, its own little world there. And therefore, the ones who write fantasy or poetry like you, they would say, are actually tapping into an actual level of inner reality. So for whatever that's worth, that's the one of the ideas I'm playing with right now. So just wanted to share that. I suspect in the future, I'll be weaving some IFS stuff into Awakening Plus as I gain greater mastery of it. So anyhow, that's my two cents. Anyone have anything further before we wrap up? Good night, Jenny. Larry, any last thoughts from you?
No, it was a fun experience. And certainly this really is a reflection of what you've created here and on this platform. And there's so much potential here. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of magic that awaits.
Yes. And thank you for creating some tonight, Larry. I'm very grateful to you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll wrap it up then. Thank you all for being here. And if you're live, then tomorrow night we have our weekly New Earth support team call. Always awesome. So thank you all for showing up and being here for Larry's event and co-creating this magical space here. So thanks, everybody, and good night. Mm-hmm.